Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the blessing that was those precious children and their singing this morning that just blessed my heart. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity for us to gather here in your house and to worship you and to praise you. I thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord, and for the breath in our lungs. Lord, I thank you for leading us down here to Second Mile Church. Lord, you have a plan for each and every person in here. You have a purpose for us, Lord. And I just pray this morning that any burdens that are on our hearts, Lord, any obstacles that are in our lives that might keep us from drawing closer to you, I pray, Lord, that we would cast those at your feet, Lord, and surrender to you this morning, Lord. Lord, as we continue to worship, I ask for blessings over the message Brother Cal's going to bring forward. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through him this morning. And I pray for the Sunday school ministries from youth all the way up through the adults, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We are returning to our theme for the year after Palm Sunday and Easter and the fifth anniversary. We're finally getting back to getting free in 23. And let me just kind of bring up some remembrance for you. We were talking early on about getting free from sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, and even the person of sin. And then we talked about getting free from discouragement and depression. We talked about getting free from legalism and license. And this morning, I want to talk to you about getting free from bitterness. Bitterness. Now, anger and bitterness are closely related. They're next of kin, but they're not twin sisters. There's some major differences. Anger leaves quickly. Bitterness can linger indefinitely. Anger can be good in some circumstances. Bitterness never is. We can control anger. Bitterness controls us. Anger can control you temporarily. Bitterness consumes us. Anger is about the present. Bitterness is really all about your past, present, and future. Bitterness can sour lives, scald our families, stain our characters, spoil our testimonies, and even sadden the Holy Spirit. Bitterness can poison your spirit. And it just may be that in a crowd here of this size today, that there's some folks who are in bondage to bitterness. Maybe you're bitter towards God this morning because He allowed some tragedy to come into your life. It may be that you're bitter because your spouse left you for someone else. Maybe you're bitter towards an employer who fired you for what you don't consider any good reason at all. Maybe you're bitter towards someone who physically or sexually abused you and there's no hope for justice. Maybe you're bitter towards a father who never really gave you the approval that you needed. Or maybe you're bitter towards a mom who really never gave you the love that you wanted. Or maybe you're bitter. I talk to people like this almost weekly. Maybe you're bitter towards a church because of a bad experience. The New Testament gives strong warning about what we're talking about this morning over in the book of Acts and the book of Peter and the book of Ephesians, but it's in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews that we're going to park this morning, and we get some great wisdom and advice on how to deal with bitterness. If you have found Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. We're going to honor God's word by standing to our feet. Hebrews 12, look at verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, I'm reading the signs. All right. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. My, my, my. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Heavenly Father, would you rightly divide the word of truth this morning? Would you help us to understand the dangers of unforgiveness, which leads to a root of bitterness springing up in our life? Over and over, your word tells us to deal with this sin because it poisons our spirit. Oh God, make it real to us this morning. And as Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In His name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to give some credit to where credit's due. Some of the material I'm using comes from a book that Dr. James Merritt wrote. He has a couple of chapters on bitterness. So some of the statistics, the outline that you're going to hear is his work. And I want to give him credit where credit is due. But the first thing I want to say about bitterness this morning comes right out of verse 12 and verse 15. He says, lest any root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble. Here's the first truth in dealing with bitterness. You need to uncover the root of bitterness. Obviously, when you start, the picture here is that of a tree, okay? Now, obviously, the branches of a tree, the leaves of the tree, the trunk of the tree, and even the fruit of the tree, all of that's visible. You can see that, right? But there's some stuff going on down below the tree, in the ground, under the surface, and it's just as real as the leaves and the fruit and the branches. What is that? It's the root of that tree. And a root is not far from the surface, but it stretches far into the soil, and that's the way bitterness operates. Are y'all with me so far? Are y'all with me so far? Whew, help me, Jesus. Now, how do I say this? When someone hurts you, the potential is always there to become bitter, to allow a root of bitterness to spring up into your life. And unless you deal with it, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I just wonder, how many of you, let's just be real with one another. Let's take these masks off, okay? And let's just admit, how many of you, somebody hurt you this week? Let me just see a show of hands. Look here. Just look around the room. Stick them way up here. All right. A lot of folks got hurt this week. It's maybe been by a friend, a close companion, maybe a family member, but from time to time, we're going to get hurt. And when the seed of bitterness, stay with me, is fertilized, cultivated, watered, and fed, man, it begins to grow. And the fruit from that root gets real bitter. Let me just list some things. Here's some fruit from the root of bitterness. Negativity, a critical, judgmental spirit, fault-finding, and revenge are often the fruits of the root of bitterness. And to solve the problem of bitterness, where do you have to go? You got to go to the root. Y'all have heard me say it before, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Well, that's where bitterness begins, is deep down in our heart. And so, this is an amazing thing. Do you know how many people that I've been counseling with over the last 30 years have ever admitted to being a bitter person? Take a guess. Maybe two. Folks don't want to admit that they're bitter because of an unforgiving spirit. We don't want to go there. But I want to tell you, in order for us to get free from this root of bitterness, we have to uncover the root of bitterness, which leads to the second truth that I want to give you this morning. We need to understand the result of bitterness. Look again at verse 15. Are you with me? Okay, check this out. He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause what? Cause what? What? T-R-O-U-B-L-E. And by this, now what's that next word there? Many. I believe every word of God. Many become what? Defiled. A bitter root always bears bitter fruit. And bitterness, you know what I have found? It goes with you everywhere you go. Hello? And it causes you trouble. And it'll affect every part of you. It'll affect your relationship, number one, with God. And it affects your relationship with others. And it'll affect you on the inside and on the outside. Let me give you four, if you're taking notes or following the sermon notes, let me give you four things that bitterness affects. First of all, it's going to affect you mentally. Now, I love how Dr. James Merritt defines bitterness. He says, bitterness is like mental kudzu. Isn't that a great description? Y'all know what kudzu is, don't you? All right. Y'all know what kudzu is? Some of y'all are acting like, oh. Mental kudzu. That's a great description of what bitterness is like. And it'll take over your mind and you'll carry this mental picture around with you of the person who hurt you. And you'll think about them constantly. You'll spend time wanting to get even with them. Am I talking to anybody in here? And you'll think about them constantly, and you'll be thinking about, how can I get even with them? I'll tell you, this stuff hits home with me. Do you know your pastor has a tendency to carry grudges? And by the way, I'm not the only one in the room. This is a tough issue. And it'll affect you mentally. Have you ever seen somebody that you knew and they said hello and they called you by name and then for all of a sudden you couldn't remember their name? Has that ever happened to you? And then 2 hours later, you recalled their name. Well, that's because your brain wouldn't let it go. And that's exactly the way bitterness works. Your mind will not let it go until bitterness is resolved. It'll affect you mentally. It'll affect you emotionally. I have never met a bitter person who is happy. Not really. They have what I call a victim mentality. Some of them love to play the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. They believe that they're the innocent party and they don't see the harm. They're not only doing to others and themselves. They want to hurt somebody that hurt them. You know, let me say this. If you've got a bitter spirit here today, if there's a root of bitterness in your life, it ain't hurting them, but it's killing you. Not hurting them, but it's hurting you. And it's hurting some other things, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But I ran across this quote, a bitter person is someone who drinks poison and hopes the other person dies. I can always count on Pam to encourage me, you know. She laughs at these goofy things I come up with. And so it's going to affect you mentally. It's going to affect you emotionally. And then thirdly, listen to this. Bitterness is going to affect you physically. Doctors now know that there are over 50 diseases ranging from ulcers to high blood pressure that are caused by bitterness. Studies and research have shown that people who struggle with bitterness and unforgiveness are three times as to die premature deaths. Let that sink in. Three times is more likely to die prematurely if you've got a bitter spirit. It'll affect you spiritually. Maybe this is the most important one. Look what verse 14 says again. Pursue what? Pursue what? Peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I mean, it'll affect you spiritually. It'll bring up trouble not only in your life and other people's lives, but in your relationship with God. And by the way, if our relationship with other folks are out of kilter, our relationship with Him is not right. It's huge. Relationships, it's one of our core values here at Second Mile Church. And if my relationship with someone else is not right, there is no way on planet Earth that my relationship with God is all right. I'm preaching truth to you now, and it's hard to hear it. But this is absolute truth from God's Word. Now, if you got your Bible there, just flip left in your Bible. Turn left in your Bible to Ephesians. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, boy, I like to hear those pages. I don't know how you hear pages with an electronic device, but anyways. Yeah. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day. What is it that grieves God's Spirit? What makes Him sad? Here it is, verse 31. Let all, say it with me, bitterness. And then here's the sisters of bitterness. Wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Watch this, and be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I've said a mouthful right there. We're to forgive others in the way that God has forgiven us. Have mercy. And so understanding the result of bitterness, it affects you mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually every other way. And you carry it around with you wherever you go. Here's the last thing I want to say quickly about bitterness. We need to undertake the removal of bitterness. Undertake the removal of bitterness. And by the way, the only way for you to get free of bitterness is to free the person that hurts you. That's great truth, folks. Then you'll be free. You see, the way for you to get free is to set the one loose, set them free, the very one that hurts you. You got to forgive them. And by the way, the real truth is, and I mentioned it a minute ago, the one who's really suffering isn't them, it's you. It's us. You're the one paying the price for your bitterness. You're the one losing sleep. You're the one that's miserable. You're the one developing ulcers. You're the one who can't enjoy life. You're the one in prison. And as the great philosopher Barney Fife once said, you've got to nip it in the bud. Tell somebody, nip it, nip it, nip it. Let's try that again. Y'all are a better choir than you just sung. Nip it, nip it, nip it. How do you nip bitterness in the bud? How do you take care of that issue? How do you remove bitterness? Well, I'm glad you asked. In order to get rid of bitterness, you got to dig up the root of bitterness and throw it away. How many of y'all, I'm so inquisitive this morning. How many of y'all have ever had a root canal? Ooh. Those are not fun, are they? Well, you know, you got to have a root canal when you've got a decaying tooth. that's infected. And so in order that you don't lose the tooth, you've got to have a root canal done. And they go in there and they clean out that decay and infection, and then they put some stuff in there and all that. I mean, a root canal isn't fun, but it helped you to keep or save your tooth, right? Well, how do you do a spiritual root canal? I'm glad you asked. If you want to know how to deal with bitterness and remove that root of bitterness, here's the first thing you got to do. You got to forgive the one who hurt you. You got to give up your right. For the one that hurt you by trying to hurt them, you got to give that right up. And if you don't do that, what does the scripture say? You're going to fall short of the grace of God. You're going to have trouble. Your spirit's going to be defiled. What we're talking about here is huge. And here's the deal, y'all. Until you've really experienced the grace of God in your life and understand the forgiveness that you were offered by the Lord Himself, you will never be able to forgive the person who hurt you. When Jesus, let's go to the cross for just a minute. Because, hey, it was at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart, the bitterness of my heart rolled away. Now, when you go to the cross and you look at the one who was dying for your sin, did he deserve that? No. But because he paid the price for your sin, what happened? The grace of God came into your life. And you were, when you trusted him as your Lord and Savior, the grace of God forgave you of all your sin. That's how you forgive somebody. You remember what Jesus said when he's on the cross dying, he's bleeding, he's been beaten up beyond recognition. He's got nails in his wrists and his feet. He's been whipped. His back and part of his abdomen looks like a freshly plowed field. And he's dying for you, and people are laughing at him and mocking him and making fun of him. And what does he say? That's how you're able to forgive, by going to the cross and experiencing the grace of God afresh and anew in your own life. Because let me just tell you, Cal Hampton didn't deserve for Jesus to pay the price for all my sin. I don't deserve all that grace and goodness, but that's how much God loves us. And so we've got to be willing to forgive others in the way that God forgave us. Here's the second thing. As best you can, you need to forget the offense that hurt you. Forgive the person that hurt you. And forget the offense that hurt you. Now, listen to this. I've got it marked here in my Bible. You don't have to go there. But I want you all to hear what Isaiah 43:25 says. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. There should have been a Pentecostal Holy Ghost move of God when I read that verse. God remembers your sin no more. And once you forgive, I know, man, if you've been sexually abused and you know, child molestation, there's stuff out there that you're not going to forget. But reconciliation is, on some level, is possible. It is. We got another preacher here. Yeah. Let me just close with this. Y'all, maybe some of y'all saw the movie about Louis Zamperini. I think it was called Unbroken. Yeah. And Louis, at 19 years of age, was an Olympian runner. 1936 Berlin Olympics. Louis ran the 5,000 meter race. Now, he didn't win, but his last lap on that 5,000 meter race is still the world record on the last lap. And so he was making plans to run again for the 1940 Summer Olympics. But you all know what happened about that time, right? Yeah, World War II. And so Louis winds up in the Army, and he's in a plane that gets shot down. And him and two of his buddies wind up in the open seas. And he somehow survives that. And a Japanese warship comes by and picks these two guys up. The third one had died. And they're emaciated, starving to death. And they take them, and they take Louis specifically, to this prison camp. And it is there that Louis meets the prison camp. They didn't call him a warden, but he was the leader in that prison camp. And he found out that Louis was a famous Olympian, and he hated him. And man, he started treating Louis with all the abuse and hate and torture. I mean, that he could lay on Louis. He almost died several times. Y'all see this movie? There's a book out too. Real story. And man, Louis began to hate this prison camp leader. But bless God, he finally got out. He got out physically, but he didn't get out emotionally. And old Louis began to drink. And drink and drink, and all he could think about was killing this guy. His nickname was the Birdman. And he wanted to kill him. But as God often does, he got Louis at a Billy Graham crusade. And Louis gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And then started growing as a Christian and ran across this verse: you're supposed to love your enemies and pray for them. And little by little, Louis forgave this man that he wanted to kill, who had treated him so inhumanely in that World War II prison camp. And you know what God did? In 1984, the Olympics were in Tokyo. And guess who they asked to carry the Olympic torch? Louis. And so Louis's going back to Japan. And he began to ask around if the Birdman was still alive somewhere. And somebody said, well, he's committed Harry Carey and he's not here. But that was wrong. This guy was still alive. And so what Louis did was he sat down and wrote a long letter to the Birdman and told him how he had hated him for all the things that he'd done to him and hurt him over and over and over again. And then he told him about how he'd given his life to Christ at that Billy Graham crusade. And he ended the letter by saying, I hope you'll become a Christian and have the same love and forgiveness in my heart, in your heart that I have in my heart. And somehow CBS got wind of the story and found the Birdman and got his letter to the Birdman. But the Birdman wouldn't meet him and said, absolutely, I'm not going to meet him. And a little while later, a few years later, the Birdman died. And Louis died in 2014. But here's what I've come to tell you. Louis died not full of bitterness, but full of Jesus. Amen. And here's why. Because he buried all of that bitterness in an unmarked grave. He had experienced the grace of Almighty God. And I could tell you some more stories. But here's the deal. If you're a believer this morning, and you've got a root of bitterness that's springing up in your heart about whatever, God expects you to deal with it. And he'll give you the help you need to forgive that person that hurt you. Amen. And he'll even be able to help you to forget about the sin that hurt you so bad. And there, on some level, you can even reconcile with the person that hurt you. And if you're not saved, if you're lost, let me tell you, there's no way you can offer somebody the grace of God if you haven't experienced it yourself. And I want to ask you this question. What are you going to do with this message today? Anytime we're confronted with this book, there's a response that has to be made. And I know in my spirit, deep down in my heart, there are folks all across this room. And you've got a little bitty piece of unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody. And it's getting worse and it's growing. And before long, that root of bitterness is going to bear some nasty looking fruit. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Would you pray with me? Father, you allow some things to happen, and I don't have any earthly idea why. But there are people in this room today that have been hurt deeply. And how we handle that determines what kind of life we're going to have. And if there's folks here that are hurting, I pray today that they would give that thing, just to bury that old root of bitterness and let it go and receive the grace of God today. And a lost man or a lost woman, there's no way, Father, that they can extend forgiveness in the way that Christ did if they've never experienced it for themselves. And if you're here today and you'd be willing to completely turn from your sin and surrender everything that you are to everything that Jesus is and believe in him as your Lord and call on him to save you right here, you can experience the grace of God. And he'll forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. And he'll set your feet on solid ground. And he'll give you the life you always wanted. You can do that right where you sit. But I want to know, if anybody here has prayed to receive Christ, we want to get a record of your decision today and get some stuff in your hand to help you to get started in this new life with Christ. And if you belong to Christ and you need to deal with this sin of bitterness, don't you for one minute worry what the person sitting beside you is going to think if you get up out of your chair and come to an altar to pray. Father, give us the courage to do the right thing. Whether it be for salvation or sanctification, whether it be for forgiveness or unforgiveness, whatever it is. There are folks out here this week that have hurt us. And unless we deal with it in a biblical manner, we're going to have trouble and we're going to become defiled and poisoned. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you stand in reverence, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. You come. I'll be here.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.